When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
All right, thanks a lot for tuning in tonight. Here's what's going on in the NHL. Blue Jackets lead the Sabres 5-4 in the third. Early in the second period, St. Louis up 3-2 on Vegas. Preds up 1-0 on the Ducks. Late in the first, Avs lead the Sens 2-1. And it is the Jets with a 1-0 lead on the Penguins. Still to come tonight, the Hurricanes and the Sharks. Ethan Bear will not play for Carolina as he has gone into the COVID protocol for the National Hockey League. I can also tell you, coming up this Saturday from noon to 4, so this is this Saturday, November 27th, from noon to 4 at Ford Hall in Rogers Place, the Oilers locker room sale is back. They got two seasons worth of Oilers and Oil Kings equipment and apparel. You can find the perfect holiday gift for that player or fan in your life. They're going to have Oilers game used sticks, equipment, skates. Well, they might have stakes too. Who knows? Steak everywhere. They'll have team issued sticks, gloves, helmets, and skates, autographed game used pucks, tons of stuff, game worn Oil Kings jerseys as well. Great deal on merchandise. You can go to 630ched.com or nhl.com/Oilers for more information. It is the Oilers locker room sale, Ford Hall, noon to 4 on Saturday. Got a message here from Jeremy from Glendon, living in the giant pierogi. He's got a condo in there. He says, "Hey, Reed, I've been regularly going to Elks games for almost all my life. I'm 25 years of age. I'm glad I got in on the $99 season seat sale 2 years ago. I would usually sit in the family huddle section. Prices were around $27, but that got eliminated this year. I probably wouldn't have gone to any home games this year if I had to pay the $57 price. 2 years with season tickets, haven't talked to a person from the office once." Jeremy goes on to say, "My solution is all season tickets go to lower bowl and the ushers check the tickets when people go in. All upper deck seats, general admission, and $20 each. Guaranteed 30,000 fans a game creates an atmosphere where players are more likely to win. We have to remember many problems we are facing are not limited to our club." He says the game in Regina I was at was their fan appreciation night, and they gave away a vehicle, and that was all. At least we got $5.50 beer and $2 hot dogs. Jeremy concludes by saying the CFL in general is in a scary state. Always good to hear from Jeremy from Glendon. 780-496-0063. The hotline presented by CertainTeed, professional grade building materials. A little bit more here from Ian Murray, the board chair of the Elks, as today they fire President Chris Presson, GM Brock Sunderland, and coach Jamie Elizondo. And I asked him, "Would you be open to having the coach and the GM be the same person?"
"I'm going to wait to see what Wally comes back with in his short list and in his recommendations and see what he suggests before I, you know, go out on a limb on an answer like that. Our committee has had discussions with Wally already, but I think we need to keep that, you know, confidential to our committee until we get further down the road and we have a little more clarity."
Yeah, so CFL legend Wally Buono assisting the Elks in their search for a new GM. Murray was asked what Buono means in this search.
"Well, we'll see how it goes over time. Right now, our relationship with Wally is a short-term contract for him to focus on the recruiting of the general manager. And it may be that he helps us with other things over time, but that's too early to say. You know, at this time, we're focused in our relationship on the next 2 months and making sure we get things in place that are critical around the general manager."
All right. And as Jeremy wrote in his text, you know, is this he said the CFL is in a scary state. And Halsey today asked Ian Murray, are the problems the Elks having, are these also league problems?
"I think that the league in general has some challenges. But I think we have to be accountable for the fact that that we had a, call it a negative variance greater than some others, right? Like we, our performance wasn't sufficient at our end. And, you know, that's what we have to focus on. We know we can do better. But clearly, you know, the league itself has marketing challenges for sure. But, you know, in terms of our assessment, you know, we were pretty, weren't so much, you know, Brian, we're not so much focused on exact numbers of fans in the stands, but we were alarmed at the sort of level of customer complaints and some of that operational stuff.
All right, so now the search is on. New GM by the end of 2021, new president by the end of January. So those will be the next upcoming.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Storylines for the Edmonton Elks. We will dive into some hockey talk. How about that goal by McDavid last week? Kelly Rudy with his take when we get back.
Over the line, through the middle, makes a move. He'll go to the net, scores! Connor McDavid, what a goal! And this game is tied at one!
Mooner with the call, the McDavid magic last week against the Winnipeg Jets. The Oilers then beat Chicago on Saturday at Dallas tomorrow. Furnace Family Oilers Hockey. 5 o'clock face-off show game at 6:30 here on 6:30 Ched. He joins us every week for Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Try 4 weeks free. Visit sentinelstorage.ca. Former NHL goaltender, now analyst, Kelly Rudy. Hey, Kelly, how are you doing?
I'm doing really, really well. I have high expectations this week again, Reed. Not for our show, because I know you and I are friends and we'll figure that out, what we're going to do and moving forward. But because I want to see another highlight reel from Connor McDavid this week, and I would expect nothing less than a spectacular one-man rush against three or four or five guys and another great goal late in the game.
Well, that's the fun part, because that was actually back-to-back home games, Rangers and Jets.
Right.
And Stoff and I were talking about that on our face-off show last week, ranking his goals. And for me, the one against Winnipeg barely made the top five.
It's crazy.
It's getting out of control.
I know, it's crazy. And so we kind of dissected it. Ron, Jennifer, Kevin, and I on Saturday night in the first intermission. But there's a lot to get to in that goal. So the very first time I'm watching the play, and I see McDavid coming from the Oilers bench side. And it's Duncan Keith. And I think it doesn't he pass it over to CeCe?
Yeah, Keith gives it to CeCe, who gives it to McDavid.
But the first thing I was paying attention to is how many times McDavid was going to look up ice before he even got the pass from CeCe. And there is one quick look originally, and then the closer he got to CeCe, then a really short one. Just it's like just quickly turn his head up ice, and before he even gets the puck, this is what I was kind of, I wish I could have a chance to talk to him about this. Like, what is your brain processing at the time? So you've taken two quick looks. You don't have the puck yet, but it occurs to me, or seems to me, that he must be thinking, okay, I see Adam Lowry near center ice. I have an understanding what he's wanting to do. He's going to try and wedge me into the boards, the board. So I really have no opportunity to go through the middle. So he's processing that, yet he's going to make it appear as though he's going to go along the boards. But at that particular point where he decides, here's my opportunity, he thinks he's angling me properly. Now's my opportunity. And it was, I'm going to say, 6 feet before he even got to Lowry. So now he does that. He decides he cuts inside with all that speed. Then he attacks the two defenders. But the play I loved the most maybe was how he pushed the puck about 6 feet past Logan Stanley. So nobody can get him with their stick, right? So they can hack him. They can do whatever. But they won't all knock the puck off his stick because it's not even on his stick. So that's a clever play. And I know he's been doing it. And a lot of NHL players try that. And then he skates into it and then cuts back to the inside and beats Hellebuck. But the point I want to make, besides all that other brilliance that I just talked about, how his mind thinks, I've seen other players, and we've all seen a lot of players, try that same sort of play where you push the puck just beyond the defender, right? But it's very hard during the course of a game to do it perfectly where it's only about 6 feet past. I've seen a million guys, maybe that's an exaggeration, but they push the puck 9 or 12 feet past, and by the time they catch up to it, the play's dead because they're too far into the corner already, right? They don't have an opportunity to get the puck, retrieve the puck again, and then attack the net. So there are a lot of brilliant things in that one particular rush that just really stand out to me. But like I said, how his mind thinks the game, that would be really cool. That'd be a really cool conversation to have. Like, what were you thinking before CeCe gave you the puck? Were you actually thinking of going along the boards, or did this opportunity present itself because Lowry didn't angle you properly, or all along were you thinking to go up the middle? I don't know. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that is a good point. At what point does an end-to-end rush actually become an end-to-end rush in the player's mind?
Right.
Because you would think even a great player like McDavid doesn't expect to do it over and over. Because he often skates with speed through the neutral zone.
Yeah, totally.
But it doesn't always turn into that.
No. And oftentimes for a guy like McDavid, I know prior to last year, a lot of his rushes, he'd get into the zone and go outside because of his great speed, right? And then just beat the defenseman wide. And then he talked about, I think it was last year or in the bubble, I can't remember, it's all a blur, but he wanted to get to the inside a little bit more. And so that was a really cool thing, how he'd do that. But this is entirely different. This is just like you just mentioned, it, end-to-end rush. And there's only a handful of players in the history of the game have had that sort of game-breaking ability.
Yeah. Well, I like how you put it. I wonder if he could even explain it if he really had to. Because oftentimes when he's asked, he's modest about it. And he, you know, the one after the Rangers game, he was just like, well, I'm doing my job. I'm paid to do that. Right. And it's like, okay. Right. But I mean, as an athlete, to know that you can be in an apparent situation of disadvantage, but still know you're going to beat the guy. Because you're so fast and talented, right? Like he's not, I don't think he's hoping to make a play. Like it's not a desperation hope play. Like it's to him, it's probably a high percentage play. Yeah, I'm 1-on-3, but I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Man, that's such a good point, Reed, because don't all of us hate hope plays or hope passes? And how many times have guys, and this has been the reason why a lot of guys, not a lot, but a few guys with pretty good talent have gone away from the NHL because they don't use their teammates, right? It's just a one-man rush all the time. And we as broadcasters, we're sitting up in the booth and we're going, we sort of look at our partner and go, we know what's happening here. Nothing's going to come of this rush. We're bored silly because this player just continually tries to do that, where, again, a player at McDavid's level, it's not a hope play. There's a legitimate chance that he's going to get a good scoring chance.
Yeah, I was thinking of the phrase that I don't know if he came up with it. Probably someone else said it first. But Glenn Suter from the CFL broadcast on TSN often says that about a fast receiver against the defensive back, that if he's even, he's leaving. Yeah, that's kind of like McDavid. If you're even with McDavid, forget about it. You're already too late.
Oh, 100%. I remember, I think it was like the second year that McDavid came into the league, and we were talking about it a lot on Hockey Night. It was that all of a sudden McDavid would come flying through the neutral zone and get the puck at his own blue line or whatever. And the defensemen were so afraid on the other team that they weren't skating backwards anymore. They were turned skating forward. They just knew at that point that, that he had a great opportunity to beat him with his speed. I remember there's a veteran, and I won't say his name just because I don't want to embarrass him if he doesn't want this to be said, but veteran, really good NHL defenseman, and we asked him about who's the hardest guy to contain, and that was McDavid's first year, and he said, Connor McDavid. And so that just tells you what the people think around the league about. And that was how many years ago was McDavid? What was his rookie year?
15, 16 was his rookie year.
Right. So that's what, 6 years ago? That's crazy.
Kelly Rudy joining us on Inside Sports. Another great story for the Oilers lately is Stuart Skinner. I mean, went toe to toe with Hellebuck in the game we're talking about and got the shootout win. And then he was solid against Chicago. Another really good game. I mean, the Oilers, again, didn't play great early in that game. He made good saves in the good 10 minutes and then first 10 minutes. And then the Oilers took over. He looks really, really comfortable in there.
He sure does. And it's a great story, as you know. And so I'm really cheering for him. I think we may be offended a few Oilers fans on Saturday because we were talking about that is one position that you would think they want to upgrade. And we didn't mean any disrespect to any of the Oiler goalies, but just when you look at it on the surface, you probably go, well, you know, if you're going to go into a big playoff run, you probably need somebody at a little higher level. We throw out some names, some probably weren't even legit. I mean, you just throw out names because you're just trying to find somebody because you're not finding a legit number one unless there's some way you can find some money and get a top guy. But Skinner clearly is a guy that has huge potential. I mean, as you mentioned, that game he had versus Winnipeg, when you're going toe-to-toe like that against Hellebuck, That gives you a lot of personal pride, right? And then the Chicago game, I'm with you, Reed. I was thinking, we're watching the game, and I was thinking to myself, wow, Chicago is just flying here for the first 10 minutes. And then the Oilers got the jump on them and scored four quick ones. But then again, that's a different mind game, right? So now your team's exploded for four, and now he's not getting as many shots, not many dangerous shots. And for a young player, it's even more difficult to learn how to stay focused, right? And not think that, okay, we've got four. We'll probably score two more in the second. We've got a 6-0 lead or something. And so it turned out to be a really close game, but that it's just such a great learning experience for him to get these opportunities, right?
You saw the 3.5 minute all four lines on the ice,
right?
Forechecking, like how for Lankin and the Chicago goalie, how exhausting would have that been? Because you have to be in your crouch for like pretty much 3.5 minutes straight, don't you?
You're so right. So there are a few opportunities where you get to stand a little bit more upright and give your legs and your lower back a bit of a break. But that is absolutely exhausting. I know it's happened before, but I can't remember in recent memory where I've seen a shift that long and they get all four lines involved. So that was we're watching in awe, all of us behind the scenes. We're watching it and we're thinking, okay, this is amazing. I'm not sure if the last time I can remember this happening. It's even more, I was even more astonished by Connor Murphy, the defenseman. He was out there, I believe, the entire time. And the reason I bring him up, because he was still competing and trying to block shots. It's not as though his tongue was hanging out of his mouth and he couldn't move. He was just standing in front of the net. He actually was moving, and I was so impressed. I think there's that clip we showed at the very end of that shift, though, in unison, the four guys on the Blackhawks defense, as soon as they got to the bench, they bowed their heads in exhaustion. It was like somebody said, okay, 3-2-1 now, drop your head. It's pretty funny.
Kelly Rudy joining us on Inside Sports. Flames and Oilers right up there at the top of the division. It's fun that people are dreaming about a playoff battle of Alberta. I know we got a long way to go, but like the Flames are at the point they're almost more likely to get a shutout than they are. And it's not just Markstrom, because now Vladar has a couple, right?
Right. Isn't that something? So, and the one thing is, there were a couple of shutouts. There's no question about it, that there was more so a goalie shutout than it was a team shutout. But for the most part, I'd say five of them have been in large part because of the team play, and the goalie just has to make three or four high danger chances, right? Saves. So it's been a total buy-in. Now, I did say this again on Saturday. I hate to bring it up always on what I'm saying on Saturday, but I said that this team finally is, they're just meeting their expectations, right, Reed? They're not exceeding them. This is the team that I thought I would see last year. Now, for whatever, for a multitude of different reasons, the pandemic, the players' mental health with the pandemic and being alone and all these other things, they didn't even get close to meeting expectations. This is what I expected from this group before.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty amazing to watch them as well. Okay, Kelly, well, thanks for checking in. Another fun week of games ahead. We'll do this next week, man. Hope all is well with you.
Okay, take care, Reed.
It's Kelly Rudy, courtesy Sentinel Storage. Shop Canadian, store Canadian. Try 4 weeks free. Visit sentinelstorage.ca. Stauffer's with the Oilers. He's next.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.